The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
You know, Craig, I really, really, really like Van Morrison. Have I told you how much I love Van Morrison?
I always wonder if he makes a little verbal flub when he sings in that part. Up above. It sounds like he puts an R in there.
You know, the night.
You know, I could probably listen to Van Morrison all afternoon.
Yeah?
That's how much I really like. Maybe, you know, maybe we should just play some Van Morrison songs.
I'll put together a set list.
Screw it. We don't have a guest.
Did you ever see when Bill Murray was on the Bob Costas show? Did you see that interview?
I don't remember, but later was the show.
Well, later it was the name of the show. And he did the entire show with Van Morrison playing in the background.
Really?
That was one stipulation. He had this little boom box.
What was the point?
I don't know. I think Bill Murray is a big Van Morrison fan, and he just wanted to have that music going in the background.
Bill Murray is different.
And it was really light, really quiet, but the music was always going. I think maybe it was a way to clock the interview, so that way if there was any editing done, you could show it. So that way if they made his interview look stupid, he could say, hey, this is where they edited, because you can tell by the music.
So it's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Dave Congleton along with Craig Hill. It's one of those afternoons, but you know what? We're just going to roll with it. Yeah. We're hoping Jacqueline Frederick is fine from the Latino Outreach Council. She's supposed to be here, and I double-checked my email. I got it right. We just hope she's okay. And we hope that Claudia Harmon-Worthen is on her way. She's going to join us later in the hour, though she may be joining us sooner.
That's a good name. I like that.
For the 8th annual Cambria Bee, Butterfly, and Bat Fair. And then our good friend Dr. Larry Martinez is going to join us in about an hour, because he's just back from Petra, not the restaurant over here.
Oh.
He went to Jordan.
Well, that changes what I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do a whole hour about Petra.
I figured.
By the way, Todd, good afternoon if you're listening. I love Todd at Petra's. And then Stu Jenkins is going to explain the recent Supreme Court hearing. They didn't issue a decision yet, but they took up their first homeless case in 40 years. So
that's what's going on today.
That's what's going on. Well, we don't know what's going on today.
Yeah, well.
Dave showed up, started talking about his dog. And Craig started talking about the protesters.
Yeah, we're just chit-chatting.
Yeah, it's just one of those informal, hey, we're live, we're local. That's all that matters, right?
I still think
I'm still trying to figure out this text from Randall. Can you see the text line? I don't. He's texting somebody else. I'm not even sure who Randall is.
Did he happen to text in the word fluffy?
If you will cover me. Well, I will try to make a phone call here.
So you're just going to call her on air?
Well, it's funny. She asked to come on, and I certainly agree because I think the role of Jacqueline. But I said, you know, you're all the way down to Pomo. We can just do this by phone. Oh, no. I'll come up, which I appreciate. I always appreciate when people come in.
Well, if she's not here, you could call her on the radio line here. So that way, talk.
Tell a story. Just talk.
Okay. Now I got to think of some kind of story to come up with.
What movies did you watch last weekend?
I watched Charlie Chan with my mom. I found an unopened copy of a Charlie Chan DVD and had a little movie night with my mom and my wife. And we did popcorn like we do every time we have a movie night. That's what we did. And we enjoyed that Charlie Chan movie.
We got her. All right. Always good to be in conversation with Jacqueline Frederick from the Latino Outreach Council. She joins us now. Jacqueline.
Awesome, Dave. I'm alive and well. I apologize for being a little late.
No, sorry. You're fine. You're just I always get worried when this happens. Not because Craig and I can cover. That's not the problem. I'm just always concerned that the guest is okay. So as long as you're okay, that's fine. How are you?
Well, I would say I'm pretty darn spectacular at the moment. Thank you so much.
Well, I know you're busy. You're busy.
Yes.
You got the big Cinco de Mayo coming up. Let's talk about that. What's happening?
I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this. You know, Latino Outreach Council is back post-COVID with our events. We had Dia de los Muertos last November, and now we're doing our first ever Cinco de Mayo celebration. And I'm very excited because it's going to be at SLO Public Marketplace, which is a fantastic place if nobody's been there. And we're partnering with Nexus Dance Studio there. So there's going to be lots of dancing. It is on Sunday at 3:30. Starts the live mariachi, so be there early. Come at 3. We have dinner at 4:30 with dinner and drinks. Dinner is being provided by Todo Bueno, which is one of the restaurants there.
Yeah.
And the drinks, the wine and beer at Bottlecraft, and of course we'll have soft drinks as well. And we have my favorite DJ. His name is DJ Roger. He has DJed almost all of our Latin dance events. And he's coming from Salinas. He says that he is, anything he can do for Latino Outreach Council, he'll be there. So he's coming. And so they'll be dancing all afternoon and into the early evening.
Well, so
it's going to be a blast.
Let's back up because I'm very familiar with SLO Public Market. I'm there once or twice a week. So is this going to be in the plaza outside?
It's going to be in the plaza right outside where they have all the tables in front of Orange Theory.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the tables decorated with beautiful tablecloths and also some gorgeous paper flowers that our Promotores group is going to make for us again. And they're spectacular. So it's going to be very festive. And a lot of fun.
I'm delighted to hear that you're using the SLO Public Market. I think that some of the places over there are doing well, others not so well, and that plaza is ideal for just the event that you're describing, and the weather is going to be wonderful. I'm just thrilled to hear that you're doing this there.
Well, thank you, and I agree with you. You know, I believe that, you know, small businesses should help each other and organizations should collaborate, and this is why, you know, I'm collaborating with Nexus, because I think the world of Alicia Aragon and her husband William, who are strong supporters of Latino Outreach Council, and they are a Latino couple who have this dance studio there, and I support her and Will, and they support us. And I wanted to use the local restaurants and beverage providers there so that people could have the experience of also trying out the restaurants there.
The only caveat, I warn people, if they're going to come to this, come early, because parking at the SLO Public Market can be a challenge. But if you go all the way in the back corner, there's a separate lot. And I also know people who have just parked over there by Starbucks and Trader Joe's and walked across Tank Farm.
Yes, I agree with you. There's opportunity, but it's also a Sunday. So, you know, I think there's a business there that's open during the week that might help with the parking. And if you're a Tesla owner, there's a huge Tesla charging station there. So, you know, and that it's going to be an opportunity for people to explore SLO Public Marketplace if they haven't been there yet, with some beautiful stores and restaurants and bars, and it's really a great place. I love it there. Very reminiscent of in the Latino and European culture, where we have gathering places where just like this, there's a plaza, people gather, they eat, they drink, they talk, they dance, they listen to music. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun event. All right. Jacqueline Frederick on this broadcast. So let's back up and remind folks of a couple things. First, let's remind them of the purpose of the Latino Outreach Council and the fine work that you do.
Thank you so much. We have been around since 1994, and our mission is to bridge the cultures. And I can't think of any better way to bridge cultures than to bring cultures together with music, food, dancing, enjoyment, sharing each other's company. And as you know, Dave, we do so much. Our little organization, all volunteer, by the way, with an amazing board. But, you know, our goal is to bridge the cultures. It's also to provide opportunities for members of the Hispanic population to have a resource for, you know, all the other things that are open to them, such as, you know, we've connected people with a lot of the free medical care opportunities that there are that they may not know about. We, as you know, host the, you know, the various debates with the whenever there's an election.
Yes.
We host the debates. We enjoy doing that because we also provide a Spanish language interpretation when we do that. We've had educational forums. The proceeds from this event are going to go to our scholarship fund. We give out 5 college scholarships every year, and this year we're giving out 17 scholarships to Latina women to attend a leadership conference in Sacramento. So, you know, we don't have a lot of money. This is why we have to do some fundraising. But every dime we have goes to serve and to promote the Latino culture and also to help Latinos and Latinas incorporate in our community.
We are in conversation, Jacqueline Frederick, here to invite everybody to a very special Cinco de Mayo celebration starting Sunday at 3:30 p.m. at the SLO Public Market right there in the corner of Tank Farm and South Higuera. Is there a fee to attend?
Yes, there is. We made it very modest because we understand that a lot of people might not remember or know about Latino Outreach culture, and we want you just to come. So it's only $40 per person, and that includes the food and a glass of wine or beer or a soft drink. So, and we're paying for the mariachi group, an amazing group, and, of course, our DJ. So, you know, we want people to come out and have a good time. And, of course, we're also going to let people know about our main fundraising event coming up on July 13th, which is going to be a rebirth of our Fiesta Latina event.
Cool. That's so exciting, Jacqueline. But while we're talking about this, educate us. What is the purpose of Cinco de Mayo? What does that celebrate?
A lot of people think that Cinco de Mayo is a celebration of the independence of Mexico from Spanish rule, and that is not the case. We celebrate that event with our Fiesta in the Plaza around September 16 each year, which we will be doing again this year. But in American culture, people think Cinco de Mayo is that, and it's just not that. It's just a celebration of the culture.
So it's nothing in particular.
not that I know of. I hate to admit. Pete, maybe someone will call in and enlighten me. I would appreciate it. I'm never one to be shy about saying, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. Let me look it up.
Yeah. Well, as if we need an excuse to have a good time. How do people join the Latino Outreach Council? Can people become members?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we actually don't charge for membership. What we do is you become a member just by signing up, giving us your contact information. And what we do is we invite you every month to attend our town hall meetings, which, by the way, we have like 40 or 50 people that attend. And this is where we're bringing many people in groups together every month to talk about their respective organizations. And, of course, they learn about what we're doing. So you get an invitation to that by email when you join. And, of course, you get an invitation to all of our events. So you can join without fee because we want to be as inclusive as possible, and we don't want financial concerns to be a barrier to people participating with what we do and volunteering for us.
Well, now I'm just looking online. This says, this is PBS, so they must be right. Cinco de Mayo marks the anniversary of the 1862 victory by Mexican troops over invading French forces at the Battle of Puebla. The triumph over the better equipped and more numerous French troops was an enormous emotional boost for the Mexican soldiers.
Wow, that is really fascinating, and I'm so glad I know that. And interestingly, we just sponsored, along with my law firm, the Frederick Law Firm, a fabulous film at the Slo Film Festival that involves the French. And it's the Moichacon File, and if anybody didn't get a chance to see it, it's going to be playing again in Paso at 1, but then you'd have to rush back for Cinco de Mayo. But I did see it this week, and it was about the French influence on cooking in Mexico with Mexican chefs. Huh. And about the effort that they made and successfully to have Mexican cuisine named as a UNESCO heritage aspect of the Mexican culture, which, you know, involves the influence of the French. So, yeah, I can see the little rivalry there between a war with the French and then also, of course, a battle with regard to who has the title to heritage cuisine.
We have a question coming in on the Stolberg text line. A listener wants to know how long the event is going to go on for. How late?
Okay, we think it'll go on till about 7. We're told by Slo Marketplace that that's not a hard line, but so we're counting on like 3 to 7 or so.
Yeah, so from 3 to 7, people can come to the Slo Public Market in San Luis, right there at the corner of Tank Farm and South Higuera. $40 gets you in. And as you were saying earlier, Jacqueline, all sorts of food and dancing and refreshments, a good time will be had by all. And it's a fundraiser for the Latino Outreach Council.
Correct. And don't forget our mariachi entertainment. We have our group is Mariachi Mexicanissimo. They have performed for us in the past, and they are top-notch mariachis. Come in beautiful. They're beautiful costumes. They're amazing musicians.
What's the website? What's the website for Latino Outreach Council?
Here we go, latinooutreachcouncil.org.
That kind of says it all. All right, Jacqueline Frederick, have a great event on Sunday. Final thoughts, please.
Well, Dave, as usual, you are very generous with helping to promote Latino Outreach Council and our events, and it's much appreciated. And I really hope people will come out because we've made an enormous effort to make this about as festive and beautiful an opportunity to celebrate Cinco de Mayo as can be. So hopefully everyone will come out, support our scholarship fund, and most of all, just have a great time.
Absolutely.
Dancing and eating. Having fun.
A good time will be had by all. All right, Jacqueline, thank you very much. We'll be back with more of Hometown Radio. A feel-good story coming in on the Stolberg text line. A calico cat was mistakenly sent inside an Amazon return box from Utah to California, and the cat survived. How the heck did that happen? How did a cat end up in an Amazon return box, and the cat survived? Holy cow. All right, thanks to Jacqueline Frederick for joining us. Latino Outreach Council is a very important nonprofit here on the Central Coast. If you haven't been to the Slo Public Market before, here's a perfect opportunity this Sunday from 3 to 7 at the Slo Public Market at the corner of South Higuera and Tank Farm Road. $40 gets you in the door. You will be fed and entertained and wined and dined. Off we go. We've got California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together, and then we are going to talk about bees and butterflies and bats. We are marching through the afternoon. Dr. Larry Martinez joins us at 5:05. We're going to talk about Petra in Jordan, one of the great wonders of the world. Larry just got back from there. He'll take us. Then Stu Jenkins talks about the Supreme Court and homelessness. This segment, we're going to put this focus on bees and butterflies and even bats. Sunday is going to be a very popular day. It's time for the 8th annual Cambria Bee, Butterfly, and Bat Fair, which means that Claudia Harvin-Wortham has flown in. How are you, Claudia?
I'm great.
Nice to see you, dear.
I'm exhausted, but I'm great.
Yeah. Your wings are tired.
Yeah.
Am I missing something here? You added bats. It has been bees and butterflies.
Yeah, because some bats are pollinators. So it's basically a pollinator event, and therefore the bats around the Central Coast are bug eaters, you know, insect eaters, like mosquitoes, but in the deserts and other places, they are pollinators, so thus the bringing in the bats. And Stella Luna is going to be at the fair. She is a pallid bat, which means she's a light-colored bat. She's quite small, and she's from the Pacific Wildlife Care Center and Lori Edwards takes care of it. She'll be coming and giving a talk about bats.
So let's just start with the overview. What's happening on Sunday at the 8th annual?
Well, throughout the event, we'll have music by Dennis Michael and Robbie Kimball. And in between the music, we're going to have four speakers. We have the Central Coast Beekeepers Association will be there with a booth. They'll have live bees and a demonstration hive. They'll have honey for sale. We have a couple other people who have honey for sale. Honey at this event is different than the one you buy at the store because it's natural honey and it's more, I guess, more medicinal. Hopefully they'll have some other honey-related or beehive-related products. There'll be fresh food. We hope to have a little bit of both vegetarian, and we'll have Jason's famous pulled pork, which has been very popular. And we have people who'll be selling things that are related to the event.
All right, but let's go to the big picture. Why do we do this? Why do we have a bee, butterfly, and bat fair?
Can I give you just a little bit of background?
Sure. Okay, that's why you're here.
This started off with an experiment where we would have a table, a big long table, it fit 12 or 16 people, and you would have a big lunch. And then after the lunch, you would put out the food that you would have eaten if there hadn't been any pollinators. And from 12 or 14 platters, you end up with a bowl in the center because, 33% of their food needs to be pollinated. But if you look at the extended need for pollinators, like in the feed that feeds the cattle, you end up with 90% of the food that we eat needs a pollinator in some way. So it was so dramatic. We thought, you know, we can't just do this. We got to do something bigger. So that's what started the idea of the bee fair.
So start with bees.
Bees.
And then you added butterflies.
Yes.
Why'd you add butterflies?
Well, they're pollinators too, and they're pretty.
All right.
And we love their cat.
And
love
now
the
you got
caterpillars.
Bats.
And then we found out the bats were pollinators, so we added in the bats.
So would we call this an opportunity for people to come by and learn more about bees and butterflies and bats? Is it educational?
Yeah. Yes.
It's
an educational
fun.
Event. Yes, and it's fun.
So this could be this Sunday from noon to 4. Where is the Cambria Historical Museum, please?
Well, it's 2250. Oh, the address is wrong. 2251. Sorry.
Is this right across the street from
Robbins?
Robbins.
Yes.
Just say that.
It's right on the corner of Burton and Robbins.
Right.
Burton Street and Robbins.
Noon to 4. And donations welcome, so there's no fee to get in.
Right. It's free.
Now, also, our friend Catherine Ryan Hyde is involved.
Yeah. Well, what happened is it evolved, when the bats came in, it evolved into kind of a holistic view of what does it take to protect the pollinators. Well, you have to have plants. Well, in order to have plants, you have to have good soil. So that when they brought in the vermicompost people who make good soil, this soil is so great that it actually went into space with NASA with a project where they used the vermicompost with moon dust and grew some kind of a bean or something like that. So she'll talk about that at the fair. So it started with the earth, and to answer your question about Catherine, so it was from the earth to the sky. So you have to have sun to grow plants, you have to have water, and you have to have the earth. So so then we brought in the solar telescopes. They were very popular last year.
So we're going to see the sun through solar telescopes.
Yes, they're special telescopes, and they have special filters.
Have you done that before?
We did it last year.
Yeah, but have you personally done it?
No, I've never looked. No, I've never.
I'm just curious what that what that view is like.
Well, they put filters in there, and it'll make the sun look red, white, and then the one that Catherine's bringing, the calcium cave, will make the sun look kind of a blue purple color. So, but you can't. You know, how old were you when your mother told you you could not look at the sun? You know, we were taught, you know, as early as we can, you know, don't look at the sun. So the kids love this because now they get to look at the sun.
So how much about bees, butterflies, and bats do you really know about?
Oh, not very much.
Yeah.
I'm a promoter.
But yet you do this.
Well, yeah, I know. When I was a kid, this is a very important lesson.
Where'd you grow up?
In Long Beach, Southern California. And when I was about, I don't know, 8 years old, so like that, so, a bee got into the kitchen, and I'm going, kill it, Daddy, kill it. Kill it, Daddy, kill it. And he's going, no, honey, this is what we do. And he got a tea towel, and he gently kind of shoot it out the, out the back door. And, you know, you don't forget those kinds of lessons, because he taught me that you don't just kill little creatures. And then when I found out that they were furry, and this was only, you know, 8 years ago when we started having these fairs, how could you not like a furry animal? I mean, I was deathly afraid of them as a kid. So when you find out that they're furry like a little dog, you know, then, you know, you love them because they're just sweet. And actually, they won't bite you or sting you if you're not, you know, you don't move fast, or you don't try to be aggressive with them.
My rule of thumb is I don't cause any trouble to an animal as long as it lets me pass. If a spider comes my way, it's me or the spider.
Yeah.
A bee comes my way, I'm sorry, right? Just stay away, and we'll get along fine. Is that that's reasonable, isn't it?
Well, they don't want to be that close to you either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about Stella Luna, the pallid bat.
Yeah, so she was actually found in a field in Paso Robles, and a farmer found her and took her to the Pacific Wildlife Center in Morro Bay. And Lori Edwards, who's become her caregiver, they don't take care of her at the center in Morro Bay. She takes her home. And when she had been a nurse for... she was a neonatal nurse and ICU and things like that. So she really was prepared to care for a sick little creature. And so she took on Stella Luna as a project. And apparently the storybook that a lot of the kids read nowadays about Stella Luna is kind of similar, how she was orphaned. And so she'll talk a little bit about that when she gives her talk at the fair.
And we should underscore this, Claudia, is that there are things specifically for children.
Yes, we have... seed bombs. Now, I'm not sure about
seed bombs.
Seed bombs. I don't know what they are. One of our NASA JPL people who spoke for us a couple of years ago, he was in one of the main engineers for the Webb telescope. He happens to live in Cambria, and he and his wife love doing stuff with the kids. So I just asked them what they want to do, and they said, okay, well, you know, Tisha decided she wants to do these seed bombs. And I said, okay, great, whatever you want. So I don't know what they are, but they sound like fun. They'll put seeds inside of them and petals. We have Chris Fox, who runs a local newspaper, CambriaCA.org. She's going to be having the kids make mason bee houses. Those are native bees. We have the May Day hat making, which you've had every year.
May Day hat making.
Yeah, May Day hat making. They're really hokey. They're made out of paper plates, and not like... They're like big, heavy paper plates, and they put silk flowers and bees and butterflies on.
You got face painting. You got a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, and the scavenger hunt. They've got nice prizes for the kids when they walk around the different vendors and they ask questions. When they get them answered, they come back.
Mason bee housemaking. Yeah. Well, it just looking at all this, Claudia, it jumps out at me that this is a community-wide event. The community in Cambria is all involved in putting this on.
Yes.
And it's a family-friendly event.
Yeah.
And it's only... Make a donation and you get in.
Yeah, yeah, that's the idea. And we have a silent auction. And that's how we make money. So come on down and bid on things. And all the things that we have are related to pollination. So it's a very theme-oriented event.
So you have experts on bees and butterflies and bats?
Yes.
All doing presentations?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So if I wanted to know more about bees, this is the place I would go.
If you want to know about native bees, Kim Chacon, she's a lecturer, she's an architectural a landscape architect instructor at Cal Poly, and she's an expert on native bees. So she'll be talking about native bees as opposed to honeybees. But John Chesnut will be there with this demonstration hive with the live bees, and he at the booth at the Central Coast Astronomers, Central Coast Beekeepers booth, they will have the live bee bees there.
And so there'll be bees there.
There'll be bees there. And he's a tremendous amount. He has a tremendous amount of knowledge, and he loves to talk one on one with people about honeybees. So, yeah.
All right. And then the bats and the butterfly. Oh, but now there's also hummingbirds. I didn't see this.
Yeah, I added in the hummingbirds. We don't have too much other than some pictures. We do a huge high-resolution photo display. It's quite tall. There are bees, bats, butterflies, hummingbirds.
And what's the connection to hummingbirds?
Hummingbirds are on there, but it's not... I was really hoping we were going to have... There's a person that I tried to get. We couldn't get him, so...
They photograph well. That's
and
why
they, and the hummingbirds are pictures. When you come, you'll see these hummingbird pictures that are done by a local photographer. They're quite amazing.
Everything you need to know is on the website at beautifycambria.org. Yeah. Beautifycambria.org. Yeah. It's the 8th annual Cambria Bee, Butterfly, and Bat Fair taking place this Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. Claudia Harmon-Wortham is here. We'll continue the conversation on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Tomorrow on this broadcast, Lance Parker looks at a voter initiative that is going to be on the ballot in Arizona, dealing with homelessness. Also, Hillary Roberts Grant has a few thoughts about the South Dakota governor and the dog she shot. Why not? We'll talk about it. Larry Martinez joins us after news at the top of the hour. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio, where we are chatting with Claudia Harmon-Wortham. She's been in Cambria for nearly 40 years. And she's like a butterfly all over the town. Every time I hear from you, you got a different cause. Were you like this before you came to town?
Yes, I've always
like
been.
A community, I mean, not a community organizer. It's not, you're just a...
I wasn't that, but
you're
I
a community
was
advocate. You're just...
Yeah. I just decided when I moved to Cambria that I wanted to do that. And... yeah, it's been great. You know, I did teach at Cuesta for 15 years. So I taught interior design and related subjects, environmental design and professional practice and things like that, and ran the department for a while. So.
Has Cambria changed much in 40 years?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
How
it's,
so?
It's well, it's grown. It's the population has decreased, but there are more houses and more buildings and more people that have second homes, more vacation rentals.
Yeah.
Yes. I have five of them around me. And so, you know, that makes, you know, it makes a different kind of you know, atmosphere.
How
they
about
have a lot more tourists.
How about the sense of community, though?
Well, you know, it depends on who you talk to, because, you know, those of us who've been around for a long time, you know, we have a community. We have our own kind of community, and then there's the new people who come to town, and they have their new community. It's kind of a new way of doing things, a new approach of doing things. I find that some of the new people are not as community-minded as the old people.
Well, I remember you guys did the mural.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great project.
18 months it took to put that up.
Yeah. But you got it done.
Yeah, we did. And it's been a really, really great thing for us. And we're in the process of trying to get the lights up there. I'm trying to get the ceiling it's an alcove. It has plants below it. And so I'm getting the ceiling put in so they can put some lights in.
Put a plug in for the Dark Skies program.
Yeah, I just did. So one of the things about that mural is on the left-hand side of it, John Kusu is the artist. We talked about the painting before he finished it, and I asked him if he put dark skies on one side of it and stars and things like that. So if you look at it, you can see it online and on our website on beautifycambria.org, or you can go to John Kusu's Facebook and see it. But you'll see that it's dark on the left side, and there's all kinds of symbols, and those are considered to be the Chumash constellations. And those are painted by Violet Sage Walker, who is the...
I know Violet.
You know who Violet, yeah. Yes. And so, and her nephew. And I had the honor of washing brushes So, Scott Cam, who is the lead muralist, told me that I was now a professional muralist, and I said, "Yeah, I can come every time you do a mural, and I'll wash the brushes."
But the Dark Skies program is an effort to darken the skies in the evening, so that we don't have all these bright lights. Yeah. And if you've been to Cambria at night, you know it's pretty dark up there.
Yeah, and we're still lucky it's pretty dark. And we have a really neat thing that's we have to change the lighting code. We have to update the lighting code in Cambria so that the lights are pointing towards the ground, and we're still working on that. But meanwhile, the Bluebird Motel on Main Street has 45 offensive lights, and they agreed to allow us to change those out. So we're going to change those out for lights that shine down a nice cone of light, a nice warm white. And once we do that, we will write an article for local paper, and we'll give them a Good Neighbor Lighting Award, which is a sticker that they can put in their window.
So, I've stayed there. It's a nice motel.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're nice people, and so they've allowed us. We have a memorial bench there, a memorial tree, and we have a bench that we put on their property, and we plan on putting a couple of trees there. They have some open space to the one side of their place.
We're chatting with Claudia about the 8th Annual Bee, Butterfly, and Bat Fair. I'm inviting people to come on up and join Claudia, and you can find out about bees and butterflies and bats. You can head over to Lynn's and have a nice piece of pie. I'll put that plug in for them. You were just there.
Mm-hmm, I was.
All right. For people just tuning in, though, Claudia, let's remind folks what's happening on Sunday.
So what's happening on Sunday is we're having this fabulous event. It's been called magical, and I think it's because it's so focused on pollinators, and the gardens at the museum are just bursting with flowers, and there's butterflies and bees flittering around everywhere, and people are happy because they're selling honey, and they're educating people about.
They're busy as bees.
They're busy as bees, and they're promoting the cycle of life we have from the dirt to the sky. And what it takes to have the right kind of plants to feed these wonderful creatures. And so we're always delighted and to have people come, and the vendors who've been before, they come back over and over again because they just enjoy the experience so much. So it's a wonderful event that is great for the kids and people of all ages.
The obvious question is, are you going to have honey for sale?
Yes, we will have honey. The honey is special because it'll be organic honey, different than you'll get in the markets. And then there may be some other things, like maybe some propolis and some other things. Propolis,
what?
These kinds of things that it's a part of the pollination process, and you get these kind of, I think it's got bark in it, and anyway, it's medicinal. So, I've tried it. It tastes like, I don't know, flowers, and flowers don't taste that, most of the flowers don't taste that good. So, but if you get it from, locally, it's supposed to help you with allergies and things like that because you're ingesting this.
Well, honey, it's all supposed to be good for you.
Yes, all of the bee stuff. Yeah. And in fact, in our silent auction, we're going to have some bee salve, stuff your lips and things like that. And I have to tell you, we have this friend. He's just the dearest man. He's in his 80s, and he loves to make things. And he has cut these redwood logs into slices, and I call them stump planters, and he's carved out the center, and I just bought some plants. We're going to plant those, and so we'll have those for sale. And so what we're going to have flowers for the hummingbirds and for the bees and for the butterflies. And when I was at the nursery today, there were bees and there were hummingbirds and butterflies all flittering everywhere around. So it should be really wonderful to have those there, and hopefully we'll attract those pollinators.
Weather's going to be perfect. You couldn't ask for better weather. Yeah. And we stress this is at the Cambria Historical Museum, right across the street from Robbins on Burton Drive. You get in with a donation, and it's family friendly. Food for sale and live music.
Yeah, so we have Jason's Famous Pulled Pork, and it takes him 2 days to make this pork. So if you're a meat eater, you'll be in heaven. He'll make pork sliders, and we'll have some coleslaw with that. And then a little restaurant called The Spot is going to be serving turkey, vegetarian wraps, and then they'll have some crepes, some fresh crepes.
Everything you need is going to be right there.
And so you'll have the food. You can go over to Lynn's for dessert. Robbins is making, or not making, but they're supplying the baklava. Everybody loves baklava. You have to drizzle it in a lot of honey. So that's going to be really good. We do have some slow, hard cider that we will be selling because you need pollinated flowers to make the cider. So that's the tie into that.
Are you a honey person? Do you use honey in a lot of stuff?
I like it in my tea.
I put honey in tea only when I'm sick. Oh. Otherwise, I never think about it.
Yeah, I don't eat it all the time. It is sugar, you know, so I'm trying to, you know, not eat too much sugar.
The website for all the information we've been covering is at beautifycambria.org, beautifycambria.org. It's the bee, butterfly, and bat fair. Yeah. I'm trying to think, are there any other animals that we need to include? Let's start with the bee.
You know,
we got the alliteration.
Anything
beavers.
That lands,
any beavers.
Even anything that lands on a flower is a pollinator. So that includes wasps and flies and.
But they got to have a bee. So bees, butterflies, yeah. Bats, and beavers.
Well, that's a friend of mine said exactly that. He said, if we could add beavers. And I tried to get the beaver brigade to come, but they were too busy to do it.
Perfect.
Next year, I think I'm going to have the. It's going to be the four bee fair. The
four bees.
The four bees.
People want to find out more about dark skies. What's the easiest way to do that?
Go into our website, beautifycambria.org, and just go into the drop down and look for dark skies. Actually, it should be something on the home page. Well, there isn't right now because we have the bee fairs on the home page.
Is Cambria the only town in the county that's dark skies?
That is working towards that?
Yeah.
Actually, not. There is a man who has been working, you know, starting to work with Paso Robles and Atascadero to certify both of those towns, which is a really,
really
exciting thing to try to do because they have a lot of light over there. But he's a realtor or something like that, and so I think he's got a lot of pull with the county and with his cities, and we wish him well because if he does, then it'll help everyone.
I would encourage people to read more about dark skies. I would encourage people to come up to Cambria for the Bee, Butterfly, and Bat Fair. Their website is beautifycambria.org. Claudia, always good to see you. I got 30 seconds for a final thought.
Oh, I just want to say that there's the Monarch Butterfly book authors, two of the authors are going to be there signing books. And so I hope everybody comes down. It's going to be a fabulous day. The weather should be perfect.
Come on, sell it. Come on.
I have to say that, you know, everybody that comes to the fair has a gigantic smile on their face because it's just one of these, it's just an event that makes you happy. There's nothing there but joy, just joy the whole time.
You need to get Sting to come sometime.
Sting.
There you go.
Stick people.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Claudia, have a good event. Thank you.
Off we go. Thank you so much for being here.
News, traffic, weather. Off to Petra with Dr. Larry Martinez next.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.